Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You hang up being there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. And today we want to touch on, just at the beginning of our live stream today, the Freedom Georgia Success formula. And for those of you who haven't heard of Freedom Georgia, there's an outfit or a group of people, an organized group of people, by the name of the Freedom Georgia Initiative. The Freedom Georgia Initiative, and let me just give you a quick backstory. It started with two women who are best friends, and they ran across a piece of land at an affordable price in Georgia. And they said, you know what, if we, get a group of people together, we can get this piece of earth. So what they did was they agreed, well, then it's just two of them now. Once they both agreed, you talk to 10 of your friends, I'll talk to 10 of my friends, and then we'll get together and see what we can do. So out of them doing that, they were able to organize 19 families, and I'm pretty sure their families probably included in this some kind of way. But they got 19 families, and they purchased about 97 acres of land. It was actually 96 point something, but let's just round it up, 97 acres of land. And within that, each family or whatever way they broke it down got 2 acres each. Now they're up to 502 acres. So we're going to discuss some of the their success formula and how we can apply that to what we're doing or whatever you're doing. And like I said, we're looking at gaining some momentum now so we can catapult ourselves into 2023. And, of course, any ideas that you have, you know, are welcome. You know, 619-768-2945. Let's see. Okay. I was just reading. Okay. So let's get to Steve Harvey on Facebook because, you know, we start this program off with motivation, and then we'll get into what I've observed as the basic success formula. You might think, you know, you might see something that I don't see because nobody, one person can't see everything. But I'll put out there what I see and how, you know, we can replicate that or infuse what they did and what we did.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff, man.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious. to everyone but Jamarion. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarion took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarion, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, and that's our little morning motivation. We're going to abbreviate it. We typically play at least one other selection here for audio, but we want to start a little bit early on that today. Because if Jamarion Styles can make it, if he can make the basketball team with no hands, make the team and then get in the game and score, then we absolutely have no excuses. Now, we'll get into pretty soon here. We're going to take a call first to the Freedom Georgia success strategy. And I've noticed some common denominators of, once again, these two. It started by two ladies who are like best friends. They started with no money. And depending on how much they pay per acre, which I don't know. But they were able to raise anywhere from $90,000 to over $2.5 million, somewhere in between there, take your pick. And they went from zero to 97 acres, and then from 97 acres to 502 acres of land. What were the common denominators? What did they do to achieve it? So I've noticed some things which I will before I take this first call and throw them out, I'm coming to you right here in a moment. What I noticed was, number one, they had a tangible product. And in this case, it was land. All right, raw land. Number two is they gave people who put up money a vested interest. So from what I've gathered, each family, at least in the early stages, each family or person that put up money, they got at least a 2-acre plot of land out of the original 97 acres that they picked up. So the people had a vested interest, which means you got their attention. The next thing, which I think is very important, and it's a common denominator, they have Zoom calls every day. And when you have a constant flow of communication like that going on, you can prevent a myriad of problems. You can just prevent them. You can keep, I mean, the people in the peanut gallery, any type of negative thinking, any issues can be that will come up can be resolved, either resolved immediately, corrected immediately, or even totally prevented. And I think that's probably the most, from what I've picked up from them, that's the most successful strategy that they've had, is that they have Zoom call meetings every day. They also use the Zoom call meetings as their way of vetting people. All right. But once again, it started with two people, then they went to 19 families. So from that, you know, they were able to grow into the 502 acres and counting that they have right now. I mean, 502, 97 acres is substantial among 19 families. They could have just stopped right there. We can cut that in half. 40 acres is substantial to 19 families. The acres the size of a football field when you talk about area, so to speak. But anyway, there's some other observations I've noticed with the Freedom Georgia Initiative. They have a Wikipedia page now. They got about at least five or six. They have a YouTube channel, Freedom Georgia. And then other people have interviewed them too. And I talked to one of the organizers or founders twice, trying to get them on this show. So I'm going to give her my third phone call today. We'll get them on here one way or another. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines, 309 area code. Your mic is open. Good morning. Hello, 309. Okay, 309 is, sound like he's occupied for the moment. And that's Chris Collins who we're waiting on.
Sorry, I got that much
of a lag. Just too loud. What we'll do is what's the number here? 619-768-2945 is our number. We'll get Chris, we'll go back to Chris when he's free. Hopefully that'll be within a matter of minutes.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen, just the way.
Okay, we're back. We cut that short by the Ohio players. In any event, we have Chris Collins on, and Chris Collins, matter of fact, Chris, for the people who don't know you, explain what you do and the name of your organization and what your organization does. Oh, I forgot. Sorry, Chris, I forgot to open your mic. It's open now.
Yes. Hi, I'm Chris Collins. I'm the founder of HOPE, Housing Our People Everywhere. And we have an initiative to end homelessness everywhere on the planet and build it all out of recycled material and give people a purpose and show that they matter as much as anyone else. And we have machinery that makes up to 36,000 linear feet of material per day each. And it's just to create jobs and opportunities so that people don't have to do without. And just like we'll be here. I got a lot to share, but I can get things started.
Okay. Now, Chris, let's say All right. You're in one location. Let's say somebody wants to get started with your organization. I'm pulling the city out. Well, you know what? We view Chicago. So let's say we have somebody in Chicago that wants to get involved with Hope. What would they do?
Well, reach out to the website, and there's a phone number on there. Call it. So the website is hopeforhousing.org. You don't have to put the www dot in it. Just type in hopeforhousing.org. And, you know, tell me what it is that you would like to do. Tell me what your problems are in the community so that we can claim them. And I'm already working in North Chicago with the city of North Chicago and the Great Lakes Naval Base. And we're going to be starting a workforce training program. So we got a 15,000 square foot building that we're going to turn that into job creation for people on the Naval Base. But at the same time, we're going to be building housing because it's an in-house situation. We're going to give them an independent living situation and take them from the street to on their feet. So
okay.
Anywhere you are in the country, that's what that's about.
All right. Let's say, all right, now like 30 to 45 minutes away from me in Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, they have, I guess you would call them encampments, homeless encampments, tent cities. That's tent cities. So which a person that might have an outreach for people that might be forced out of a tent because, you know, certain cities, they have these ordinances where those, you know, if you set it up, they can take it down. So any suggestions on what a person might do if they want to house the homeless, but as we've talked on here before, instead of giving them a house, teaching them how to build a house. And in this case, to keep it even simplified, an off-grid tiny house.
Yeah. If someone is working with an encampment and the encampment's going to have to be broke down, the one thing I'm going to suggest is I went about it in a different way because I just had to attack the problem. And it wound up costing me because I didn't follow the city ordinances. And I made an encampment on my property so that I could keep people out of jail because they were just trying to survive and need the place. And so I say work with your municipality, address the problem, see if they can come up with an alternative solution. And try not to just go rogue with it because, of course, that just don't work. Because all it's going to do is cause more problems for the people that are trying to do it. But we can definitely teach you to build your own home, but also continue to help build others.
Chris, let me answer this question. Now, you say on your own property. So could you give us a little bit more specifics? In other words, was it a rural piece of property? Was it in an urban area? And about how many people were on your private property? Because it is private.
My property is private. It's in the city limits, so it's not rural. And they gave me, I mean, they fined me $950 for putting a porta potty there so that it could be sanitary. So you gotta work with the cities. Yeah, they like $7,360 for me intervening with these people's lives for 6 weeks.
How many people did you have on your property?
Seven.
All right, that's not many at all.
No, and, you know, we've been able to, these people, you know, they were escaping from reality. They were drinking, you know, every day. They drank a 30-pack before 12 o'clock. And I've got two of them that has basically stopped drinking altogether. The other ones have went from that 30-pack down to a couple of beers a day. But they're just trying to get off the shakes and as they work through their thing. But I haven't been able to give them a full purpose, but they took the 2.5 acres with three-foot-tall grass on it, and now it looks like a golf course. So, you know, sure. They took care of the property. They respected the property. It was just the difference. They weren't receiving the respect back from the community. So
now, particularly with the porta potty thing, that makes sense. What would have kept the city off your back in that situation?
Nothing.
Okay.
My city's had a problem with homelessness for 100 years. And we don't have a major homeless problem, but they have a problem that they're not trying to address the answers that need to be addressed. And one of them being, I'm in a very wealthy county, very wealthy city with only 100,000 people. You know what I mean? So when you look at the companies that are here and you got founded here that are international, but they're not doing anything to better the community. They rather have these few homeless people, say 100 people, walking their streets every day instead of not having them suffer and struggle and figure out where to go and make it look like, you know, our city, you know, they just don't care. So they're unbelievably vain in one way. And if you don't make $100,000 a year, then you're not equal with them. So I'm trying to give them a reality check, because if their check stopped in 90 days, they're liable to be homeless.
Right.
Because the bank will take your house if you can't make the payment. So because of people, I'm not saying people don't work hard and get what they get, because that's how you get what you get. But you don't tear down other people to get where you're getting. That's the problem.
Right. I'm mind-boggling with this land. Now, were they living in tents on the property, or did you guys have built makeshift homes? Or
no,
like built cabins, not makeshift?
No, I just had tents. I just loaded up their tent city and moved it over to my property and asked them to respect the neighborhood. My property is surrounded by heavy industrial property. And on one side of it, there's a half a block of houses. My property has a cul-de-sac in it where people come down there and turn around. And then these people wound up becoming mainly a spectacle for the city to come by and just ride down this road and turn around on my property and look at these people. And, you know, we're talking about veterans, we're talking about women.
Right.
That don't need to be degraded. They don't need to be gawked at. They need to be lifted up, because I gave them an opportunity and they took it. How many people can honestly say that when other organizations tried to intervene in their life but wasn't working to give them a solution, they were just putting Band-Aids on it, and when they told them they didn't want their Band-Aids no more,
they said these people couldn't be helped. And I told them, I said, look, I just need you to realize who you're going to be, not what you have been, what you ever was, but what you're going to be. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to be. So all you got to do is show me. Show you. Show you who you're going to be. And these people, I walk with their head held high on my property.
Right.
And I've watched them change in personality because of it. So I'm pleased to know that they're going to be living in a home or in a house or an apartment for the winter because we're getting them off my property. I've been able to start those processes to get something rented for them. Because I don't want them to die on my property because they freeze to death. So
right.
I tried to make a statement. And now I'm looking at a 100 unit motel. They asked me about turning it into a clarion, and I asked them for half the rooms until I get it done on March 1st. But that would give me Operation Safe Winter here, and I can offer these people a purpose, not just to go in a room and flop in it, but to actually interact and have something in your life.
Right.
And I'm kind of pleased that I'm sitting in that situation. It kind of got blessed this week on that.
All right, that's good. That's good. Well, every county and jurisdiction is different. Some places, which is private property, you can do what you want to do without asking permission. In other places, just to play it safe, you need to ask permission and see what you can do. Because in some places, if you just pull a permit for whatever the particulars are, you know, you can stay safe that way. But it all depends on, you know, because every county and every city is, they have their own rules and regulations. I know of places where you don't even have to pull a building permit to build a house. But in other places, you do. So I know on my first 4 acres, you can camp for 90-day period stretches at a time. And you can also build a house there, but if you build a what they define as a house, which has got to be a minimum of 480 square feet, and then you can have other buildings that, as long as they're under a certain square footage, you can have. There's no limit to the number of buildings. You can have on there. As long as, I guess, you stay clear, as long as it doesn't look like you're setting up a subdivision, because if you're setting up a subdivision, then there are rules and regulations for that. So private property is, I guess that's defined something. It's, what's private in one place isn't so private in the next county over. So I guess a phone call to the planning department or zoning, you can find some answers to that. So, Chris, now what are some of the projects that your organization has on the agenda for next year?
Well, we're working on a project for L.A., the 2,500 stat homes. Those are superior to a tent, to put them on five parking lots that we've identified and right off Skid Row, and giving the people there that are on Skid Row, that are homeless, that whole thing, But it's that's one of them. The project in Chicago and these workshops where we'll go to any city and put on a workshop. I would like them to be 2 to 3 days long, as far as at least having me there so that I could address problems, because it's kind of hard to come and show you something and then not go see what it is that we actually need to do.
Right.
But physically leave our mark and show that you all have hope. And I'm going to give you a double dose of hope. Humans on planet Earth housing our people everywhere. And you don't have to quit your job, but it's just amazing what you could do in an hour. If you had an hour to come and give in a week, you could change someone's life forever. Is it worth that hour? Yes. There ain't no question. If I could change someone's life forever by showing up for an hour, I'm saying sign me up. I got a lot of hours left in my life that I hope to be here for as long as I possibly can. But the one thing about it is all of us do. And all we have is our time. So do you like to see what you see around when you spend your time? You like seeing those people that they could use some help, regardless. If they're on substances, there's a reason. But the reason that they continue to be on them becomes us, because we can't change everybody. I can't make somebody stop doing something because they make up their own mind. But I can influence them. I can show them that I care. You know, to me, that makes a world of difference, is just doing that little extra from ordinary and make it extraordinary.
Right. Well, you're right. The sessions that we'll be having, they need to be probably 3 days will probably be ideal, because you need to get in, let's say, a day ahead of time to get some type of idea of what's there. And then, of course, even before you come, materials have to be ordered and that type of thing. So, 3 days events are, I would say, at the bare minimum required on that. And then, as you stated yesterday, there is some talk, there is some lecture, but then it's hands-on. And people can pick up from there, so I'm looking forward to organizing that. Although I guess it's holiday season now, because people are getting in. Well, some people are already there. I got some neighbors, about at least three of them that I've seen. They had their Christmas decorations up before Halloween. But those are just Halloween. I mean, Thanksgiving is a day. Christmas is a day. New Year's Day is a day. So that's just 3 days. People still have to have a roof over their head and try to find a way to make ends meet. So we'll get around that, so to speak. Now, Chris, I think I asked you this yesterday. I came across a website this morning, which was a woodworking website, and they gave approximate times for, like, various building projects. You know, like, it might 3 hours for a birdhouse. If you're making lawn furniture, depends on how complex it was, maybe 4 or 5 hours. I saw somebody with a luxury doghouse on this particular site. I'll send you the link. I don't think I sent it to you. I'll have to find it and send it to you. But for a, something 8 by, let me get my measurements up, because I think you mentioned it. Could have been yesterday. Let's say if we have a project of, here we go. 8x15 cabin, and we got an organized crew of 6 people. Let's see, you got 1 experienced person making the cuts. By how long do you think to at least get a shell together for that 8x16?
If we were just putting a shell together for that, we could do it in an hour.
Okay.
Now the one thing about it is the material that I'm going to send is going to be cut to length. So it's a puzzle. So you're going to put, these components in. You're going to put a half-inch screw through them on either side. It'll secure the wall. You're going to lay the wall down on the ground. You're going to turn around, and if it's 2 walls that'll cover the truss pack, then you set 2 walls down on the ground, and you build a jig out of the track onto the truss onto the wall, and you mark out where your webbing is going to go for the trussing. And once you have this thing all marked out, it only takes a few minutes to mark it out, but once you have it all marked out, all you do is go and put the components where they go, and you put screws in them and put them together, and you pop it up out of the jig, set it down in the pile, and start putting components back down and start screwing them together, pick it up and put it onto the ground. So once you get your truss pack built, you turn around and you take the walls, you take the track off of it, then you stand those 2 walls up, grab 2 more, and turn around and grab your trusses and put them on top of it.
Okay. So now we will be ordering – what will we be ordering through you?
The framing material, and I can also get the roofing material, but it's easier if the roofing material was done locally.
Right.
And we just utilize local suppliers everywhere, and we just ship you the frame.
Got it. All right. That sounds efficient. Then I'll talk to you offline with the pricing and all that. Okay.
Actually, we could talk right here. If we're gonna do a little house, say it's 600 square feet or something.
Okay.
It's $20 a square foot. I'm gonna bring you a frame.
All right.
Now that frame at $20 a square foot will be already framed. So now I can back that down to, $15 a square foot, and you guys can screw it together in an hour.
Right. That'll save some money. That's for sure. Okay. Yeah, it'll be easier if we do it on this end. And it'll save money as well. Now the shipping cost, because you're up in Illinois, we're here in Florida. So any ballpark figures on shipping?
Well, what I suggest is this: I can ship 46,000 pounds on a single axle truck. Maybe it might have dual wheels in the back, but it's still all on one frame, not necessarily a tractor trailer. So by doing that, we can get better fuel mileage, and it's basically a little more, it's one day's production run and 25% of the second day, because you can only run on a semi, you're not going to get, but like 4,000 more pounds on that trailer situation versus what you can do in that truck. When we ship this material, it ships inside of itself. So for every 2x4 or 2x6 or 2x8, I'm shipping two. So it weighs half the weight of wood, but it's, I can stack it and ship twice as much of it in the same container. So I suggest shipping as much as possible because it's costing basically the same amount to be able to run it anywhere. I do have three different positions to ship that material from, but right now they're all, one's in Georgia, one's in Louisiana, and one's in Houston. But they will ship anywhere in the country.
Oh, that's right, because if you ship out of Georgia, we're right in Florida. About, whereabouts in Georgia?
It's Woodstock, Georgia.
Never heard of that place.
I remember it just from Woodstock. That's how I'm easy to remember. It's just from the when Jimi Hendrix and all them did Woodstock.
It's an easy name to remember. Woodstock, New York, right. Something must be happening in Georgia, man. A lot of people are doing stuff in Georgia.
Well, we got Rivian, that car company. They're building a facility in Georgia. They have a facility in my city. And what they did is they came in and they put a hurt on my city. Now, it was good for the jobs because there was a lot of people that didn't have these good-paying jobs. We're now getting these good-paying jobs. But what it was is they brought in like 13,000 employees to our area, and they took all the affordable housing. They went to every landlord, and they paid 1 year in advance on rent. And then they gave them three times the rent. So it caused all the rents in my city to go skyrocket. Made all the hotel rooms double and triple their money. So it made it very hard for the people that were already here that didn't have. So right now, you know, I know that they're doing this plant down in Georgia. And we are working to see about facilitating 100 to 122 acres right around that facility that we can build housing.
Right.
Because this is what it's about, is affordable housing. And for every home that we can do for someone that wants one, just because, you know, you want a home, you know, this house don't burn, don't absorb water, stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable, get 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home. You know, these are the key reasons why people that are wanting to build a house, any size home, they need to look into this option here, because as they're buying this home and buying it from us, you're going to be doing something else and helping someone else. So it's not just the bank going to sit back and get the mortgage money from you and the interest. It's what kind of interest you're going to be able to spark in someone else because they're finally going to have a chance. And that's what this is about.
Right, right. There's, matter of fact, ballpark numbers. Do you have any idea on the estimated number of homeless people in the United States?
Well, they say that it's around 500,000. I know that before COVID, there was 670,000 homeless veterans. There was 1.5 million homeless children. And another... It come up to a total of 2.5 million people. Now, or no, 3.5 million people. They went around and did a head count through the continuum of cares across the country.
Uh-huh.
And if someone's sleeping on a couch at someone's house, or if they're in a motel, or if they're in a shelter, they're not unhoused. Okay? So anyone that thinks that number is correct, you're wrong. So they didn't count those people. They only counted the ones that were unhoused. And they didn't get them all. They only got the ones where they knew where they were at.
Does that include people who voluntarily are living in their cars, vans? A lot of people are doing school bus conversions.
No, that doesn't count into that.
Does include, okay. Campground people and tent cities.
Correct.
Yeah. That's quite a few people.
Yeah, but it's the real number. You know, that 1.5 million children.
Yeah.
I've got a homeless family right now that I'm not getting any support, even through the school system that's supposed to have funding to help this situation. And three of these kids are in school. One of them ain't got there yet. And, you know, got to put them in a motel at the moment because there's not any of these situations that are actually stepping up and saying, here you go. Now they were doing this, and for some reason I'm running into a halt now. Like I said, I was able to help a family last month, and they're in a home now, and to see them kids so humbled and so happy to be proud of what they did have. And they showed me their rooms, walked
uh-huh.
me through their house, but there wasn't any beds. There was no TVs. But to see how proud they were of their bedrooms with the personal items they did have, that meant so much to me because they knew where they were at a month ago. And I told them, I said, you guys had nowhere to go but up, right? I said, and then one of the boys said, he goes, well, you can fall back down. I was like, yeah, but you had to start getting up to fall down. And is your life different now? You guys seem like you're much happier. And definitely they are. So, you know, that's just been amazing. You know, just having those experiences and seeing the growth and seeing that they, you know, they wanted me to stay for dinner. You know. But it was more, have you seen the house? Come on in. Because they know I know where they were.
Right.
And I know how they were getting treated. And people don't need to be disrespected and degraded because of a situation they're going through.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. All right, well, on this end, matter of fact, I'm going to pull together, what's today, Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. See if I can pull it together by Friday or Saturday at the latest. In preparation for you. Actually, I had to do it up in Chicago, a small team up there, and then a small team where I'm at. Because, as I mentioned earlier with the Freedom Georgia Initiative, one of their success strategies, at least the way I interpret it, is that they meet, and they do Zoom calls every day, but I want to go, and they have an offline component too, because that's how they got to 502 acres. So I like to do mirror sort of what they did, but how about 97 houses built, 502 houses built. That's where my concentration would be at. Anyway, but I'll put, they started off with two people, so you know we got a handful, so we'll just organize from that. Now, Chris, for people that want to contact you for more information about your organization, could you repeat for the people just tuning in, phone number and or website?
Yes, it's hopeforhousing.org, hopeforhousing.com. I'm hanging C-Rock right at the moment. Multitasking. My phone number is 309-542-6319. You can reach out to me that way. I can share information with you. We do have a lot of ways that we've been able to figure out how we can get people involved without asking for donations, but just asking for support. And I'd love to share those with you. And we'll definitely, you know, start conversating. That's
right.
What it's going to take. People reaching out, so.
Oh, let's
Sorry,
see who
I'm over
here on that job. Yeah, we hear you working in the background, which I like that. Matter of fact, that's the goal I want for this podcast, which we're going to expand our social media presence with it, is sometimes we do, like, oftentimes we have two-hour podcasts, live streams. But this is part of what I want for next year, or even maybe by the end of this year, hopefully at least one or two. Before the end of a podcast, we've actually gone, built something from scratch within a two-hour period of time. And not only do that one or two times, but consistently do it on a daily basis. So we'll get to it one way or another.
That's a wonderful idea. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I've had, there are people from time to time that call in, because now you got people that do Forex and Bitcoin, and they do, you know, stock market trading. So you might hear, oh, I made so much money in an hour, or I made so much money in the last couple of hours, or whatever. So I like to take that same idea, the time frame, that is. And in other words, you know, we, in an hour and a half or two, let's say 2 hours, that we built a shell, or, you know, we built something substantial within that two-hour period of time. So I like the fact that here you're working in the background, which gives us the motivation to organize and do it. Matter of fact, I'm thinking the first
rock.
Thing to organize are the people. What's that?
I said I'm sitting here hanging sheetrock. So I had a sheetrock in my hand when I was talking to you guys a few minutes ago, telling you about the website. I was holding it up
right
in the air while someone else was screwing it. But we can always do something a little extra.
Right. And then I'm after, I had to talk to my social media person, and so we can have, you know, people like visuals. We'll organize that as well. Okay, let's see. All right, if anybody has any questions of Chris, 619-768-2945. Let's see. Just going back to what we were talking about, the title of today's podcast, Freedom Georgia Success Formulas. Now, what I've noticed once again is they had a tangible product, which originally that was land. That's still the main focus. but now they have other tangibilities in there, like the farming. They have had campouts, so they had the tangibility there. I think the thing that holds everything together with them so far, and the reason why they've been able to do well over the last year and grow, is because they have daily Zoom calls. So people, it's a small group of people. At least it started out with a small group of people. But these small group of people got to know each other through Zoom, daily Zoom calls. So we're going to be doing that as well as Instagram. Zoom as well as Instagram calls. And I'm a morning person, so I figure we'll have an a.m. call. Now, we start this live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but I'm talking about early, well, I'll call it morning. It's not really early morning. Depends on who you talk to. But something between maybe 6:30 a.m. to 7. I know we got people in different time zones, so it might be either from 6:30 to 7 or from 7:30 a.m., which will make it, we have to look at people that, we have to look at people's time zone. So we'll set it up based on the majority's time zone. But we'll have an early morning session, and then we'll have an evening session. Just because we already know you're not going to get everybody to attend every online meeting or every physical meeting or every build session. But we want it out there consistently on a daily basis because, once again, in my opinion, I think the Freedom Georgia Initiative or any organization, that if you get that constant daily forward communication, you can prevent a whole bunch of problems, or you can address, you still might have problems, but you can address and resolve problems dramatically quicker if you have a daily flow of feedback, particularly with people coming up with solutions and strategies. And it just keeps the trollers away or cuts down on it dramatically. Obviously, Freedom Georgia, I don't think they've had to deal with too many trolls. Because once you have people with a vested interest in the end. So Wolfpack, I mentioned, and you can get a whole lot more done if you organize as a group and as an organized group versus doing a being a lone wolf. And they've got food sustainability, and I don't know what kind of economic development they have going or planning, but I'm sure they will. And then, of course, daily demonstrations. So those are some of the things that I've noticed with the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And it's just not only them. There are other townships. The United States is chock full of towns. The United States has over 19,500 municipalities. And those are communities that have a municipal charter. There are also unincorporated communities, and I haven't been able to get a count on that, but I'm sure it's equal to, if not double or triple or quadruple, the number of the 19,500 municipalities in the United States. Only 10 of those have a population of a million or more. And Texas has got three of them. Texas got San Antonio, it has Houston, and it has Dallas. Those three cities alone have over a million people. That's out of the lone 10 at the top of the 19,500. Then California has San Jose, Los Angeles, and I have to check either San Jose or Murray Hogan. They got Los Angeles. Well, metro areas, they got the Inland Empire, that's large. Los Angeles metro area, that's large. And San Francisco, the Bay Area, that's large. So San Jose might be in there somewhere. But anyway, so between the top 10 largest cities in the United States, six of those cities are just within two states. I think Phoenix, Arizona is in there somewhere in the top 10. But out of 19, so 47% of the United States, they live in a town of maybe, I think, 10,000 people or less. Well, these are 5,000 people or less. Let's pump it up to 10,000. So a lot of people just live in small places. And we like to focus in on the micro places, because there's a lot of micros, what I call microscopic towns. And I'm talking about towns that have a population of 1,000 people or less. You'll be amazed in your state. Matter of fact, whatever state that you're in, put in, just go on any search engine and put in towns of 1,000 people or less, or towns that have, let's say, 500 people or less. And you'd be amazed that some towns have less than 50 people. And we're talking about municipal towns. So speaking of which, and I've got to get on the phone here in a few minutes because I'm calling one of these towns. In any event, if you've got any questions before we wrap up here, 619-768-2945. If you have any questions on Freedom Georgia, I am not affiliated with Freedom Georgia, the Freedom Georgia Initiative. I'm just putting out information. They have a website, Freedom Georgia Initiative. They have a YouTube channel, which is just Freedom Georgia on YouTube. And other people have interviewed them. I'm trying to get them on here to be interviewed. But I was just mentioning the common denominators with some of those towns. With us, we want to concentrate on some community development on a micro level. In Germany, they have these little towns, what they call a little village. They call Dorf, D-O-R-F. And I've been in a number of Dorfs, which is that's German for small village, that might have four households. That's it. Four households in that village. So, and you might have some of those right here in the United States, because there's a lot here, once you get outside of the big city. So, that's what we'll be concentrating on. Off-grid house building. And for those of you who, let me give you my definition of off-grid house building. Houses that generate their own electricity and power, where you get no electric bill, you get no water bill. The houses typically will have solar panels to collect sunlight and generate their own. If you generate your own electricity, you don't need anything from the public thing. You have your own source of water, like where I'm at right now. I can get as much water as I want, and there's no bill at the end of the month because I'm on a well. Now, my well, we have a reverse osmosis filtering system, which, that's how we have clean drinking water and that type of thing. So that's what I mean by off-grid housing, housing where you don't have any municipal water bills, you don't have a mortgage. If you build the house yourself or get a group of friends or relatives together and you build it together, you can build a debt-free house. So that's what I mean, off-grid housing. That's what we like to tell people to do, because that's not for everybody. If you're looking to live in downtown Manhattan, this podcast has nothing for you. All right. In any event, it's open mic. If you got any questions about anything or any trending topics, 619-768-2945. If you're in the studio already, just press 1.
We have Chris Collins here, and he can give you a lot of information on housing, housing the homeless, and things of that nature. Now let's go to the phone line 626. Erica, your mic is open.
Hello. 262, Wisconsin. Hi there, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
Thank you. Okay, so I found a place which I knew that they made alkaline water. My son asked the question, my 22-year-old, because it's weird. We're moving toward veganism, vegetarianism, one or the other, but no animal meats at least. So the reverse osmosis, does it eliminate fluoride or does it just balance the alkalinity?
That's a very good question, and I've been off the grid with a reverse osmosis system for at least 15 years. Let me
be straight up honest
with you. The salesman came in. We had another filtering system, and he did a he tested the water, and I saw the difference. And they do it every year because they had to come out and change the filters. They do it every year. I don't know what it filters out. He mentioned it 15 years ago, and all I know is, and I've tested it on my own with other devices. All I know is the dogs, nobody has ever gotten sick, and the water comes back pure. Now, that's the drinking water. Now,
right.
The shower water might be, or the stuff that we have outside, it's not filtered like that, but all. So, but that's a very good question. I will have to call them and look it up myself because that's a very good question that you did ask. But all I know is
nobody's
got
it. Pardon?
Say that again.
So if it's from a well, then it's like rainwater, right? And it's just filtered and balanced. The alkalinity is balanced out, purified.
All right, here's my answer there. Well water is coming from the ground. Because I have and I'll take a picture and post it online of what my system looks like. But it is ground, it comes from the ground because we're all walking on an ocean of water. Most people don't know what we are. Now, with rainwater, I plan on putting a backup water system on my house because one day the well might run dry. It's been doing well for – actually, the system's been in place here for over 20 years. Okay.
Okay.
So as a backup system, I will have a rainwater system, and that will be different because – and I'm glad you brought that up. On a typical roof, about 21,000 liters of water hits the average roof or garage yearly. That's a lot of water. However, if we don't have a way to harness it, it becomes storm water. It hits the ground, hits the pavement, it hits the street, and then it goes. If you have a sewer system in your particular community, then it goes to the sewer system and finds its way back to the municipal treatment plant, and they clean it up. So the water that you get in a tap in a place like Chicago, L.A., Boston, Miami, all those places, San Diego, that's municipal water. They're really selling you back your water, but they cleaned it up.
Right, that hit your roof.
Yeah, that hit your roof. So
right,
you can set up my DIY, and we'll probably have a workshop on this offline, and there are YouTube videos on this already, where you can collect your rainwater, but if that's not enough to collect it, you do need to have if you want to use it for human consumption, you know, cooking, drinking, and all that type of stuff, then you're going to need a way to filter it. There are ways to do that. So, and
okay.
I'm going to use that as a backup system. And then
right.
when we set up these little communities,
or help somebody set up a homestead on their own acre or land or whatever, then and they don't want to dig for a well for whatever reason, then, you know, that's probably the easiest way to do it. It might be the least expensive way to get started.
Okay. When I had my house, I was going to get a rain barrel. Never did, you know, raising three sons. Didn't get around to grabbing one. But I certainly have seen rain barrels. Didn't know what they were for years. I'm like, okay. My stepfather told me years ago that that's what they were, barrels, rain barrels.
Right.
So, of course, it makes sense that they would still need to be filtered as well, but awesome. Awesome ways to mm-hmm. save a lot of money, too. So I just wanted it to be purer than that tap water.
Right. Now, you're where are you at today, Illinois or Chicago? I mean, Illinois or Wisconsin?
I am in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, now. Got it. Now, I've got Chris Collins on here. Chris, I met him on Clubhouse a little bit over a week ago. So now he's a lot more advanced when it comes to building than I am. And Reba, if you want to ask him some questions, because you've got some materials already, you and your sons, and we want to organize a workshop up in Chicago. So, and you know a whole lot of people. So if you got any questions to ask him direct, he's online right now if you want to ask him any questions, because he is a wealth of knowledge.
Okay, and of course with Clubhouse, I met an array of amazing intellectuals to share some great information. My G son, y'all. He's ready to eat again. So
no,
I have a concern about, like, we have a fundraiser coming up, and
right.
What is something, because Brother L.A. and I, we're going to get our podcast with my son so that they can at least know how to, well, the materials that I have, some have been cut up because they were in the yard for, well, and got used by somebody in the building who works on the building. So, nevertheless.
Well, Reba, let's set it up this way. Chris, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Chris, Reba, she's a partner of mine. She's in Chicago. And she's got three sons, and she... Any advice on, like, what would be an ideal place for the coming winter months that she should look for us to set up a workshop up there in Chicago?
Well, there is a lot of property in Chicago that's already been cleared, you know, blighted properties. They took down Cabrini Green. They took down all these. There's like a 1 mile of land going in a square that needs to be developed. And I have spoke with those cities, and they are interested. And I just got a message just a second ago. So here's something I would want to discuss, because I just got a message while we've been on this podcast. We've got a new professional football team out of the south side of Chicago. It's called the Southside Raging Bulls. They just text me, the owner of the team, and says that he wants to partner and do something for Thanksgiving and Christmas with the team. So I think this might be a good, because there's property. I mean, he knows of a bunch of property as well. So
all right.
we can line it up. Like I said, it was just happening kind of, I think, divine on the fact that she's here on the phone right now, and he was on the phone texting me. No, we can make it happen. It don't matter really where it's
okay,
at.
Okay, now, she's boots on the ground in Chicago. Now, because we're looking at Chicago, wintertime coming up in inclement weather. Reba, your location, your Brownsville location, you still got that?
They haven't paid the lot or anything on it to date, but I was fighting to clarify ownership because things were done illegally to tear the building down, et cetera. So the lot is still vacant.
Right.
Not since then. And it's not,
all right, but like I said, the winter time's coming, so we got to look at inclement weather. Because I'm figuring during the winter time, we probably need an indoor location to do it. So we you come across me. Okay.
I've got a dome that's in a garage in a warehouse right now that is one of those arena football domes.
Uh-huh.
And we can set this thing up. You can drive a semi in it. It has a door. But we can set this thing up, and we could build these projects inside of there, and we could do these workshops all winter long and continue to help people and set up transitional housing and affordable housing throughout Chicago. The Chicago's huge, and there's so many people. So just wanted to run that by you.
That sounds great. If you can, text me a picture of that when you get a chance.
I had.
What were you saying, Reba?
Okay, so the fundraising is actually at the Grand Ballroom on the 18th of this month. So there are two lots that are under the ownership of the Grand Ballroom owner. So I did mention, but I just need to maybe have a conversation with you as well, because you guys are tradesmen. Well, at least you guys have carpentry skills beyond what I have, being the daughter of a carpenter. But he is the owner of the Grand Ballroom, is an elevator constructor. I did mention to him I might need an elevator in my tiny home. He said, uh-huh. Build your own. Okay, we can partner. You can show me. So that's the Grand Ballroom is actually hosting this fundraiser on 18th, and I certainly would love to connect with that football team, meet you for one, Chris, we're open to just sharing and disseminating information and resources with the youth and the families in Chicago, the inner city youth. So I appreciate you sharing that, because that's a ray of hope to get these things done. Because
all right, the 18th will be here. Project. Okay, the 18th will be here before you know it. So, Reba, are you doing any clubhouse? Rooms to promote it as well?
I have not been on, but I certainly will, because I do get my notifications. I just had not been on, with the recent loss in my family. It's been pretty devastating.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Gotta learn how to keep it moving. Yeah, my 19-year-old cousin and her family. They leave behind their 4-year-old, and he's dealing with it pretty interesting. He says it's a happy hands took mommy, daddy, and baby to heaven.
Okay.
I'm better. I actually just went into I pretty much got stuck a little bit. And then with Chicagoland Farmers Initiative, I'm a board member. So I've got some projects that I need to submit to them because we're going to be doing some presentations. So that'll be a good connect for the Farmers Initiative, because you and I talked about having, like, small gardens on top of or because we talked about doing, the gardens to feed the homeless so they know how to produce their own food. So, Chris, that's something that Brother Eli and shared, Brother L.A. and I shared on the previous podcast.
All right.
Now,
hold on, Reba. Right. Let me take another caller. 646, area code, your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, yeah, your mic is open, 646.
Peace and blessings, Tyler Bay, Mr. L.A.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you called in,
Brother Bay. Brother Bay, I've got Chris Collins on. He's out of Illinois. He has a program to help the homeless. And you and me have been talking back and forth for over a year now. So what are some of your skills? Because you're out of, I guess, in New York or New Jersey, one of the two.
New York. I'm in New York.
Yeah, you're in New York.
We'll travel.
New York City.
Yep, we'll travel.
What are some of your skills that you can put to use in building?
I'm a laborer. I could do scaffolding, operate heavy equipment, bulldozer, bobcat. Class A CDL license, bus driver, welding, burning, carpentry. You know, I could paint, I could nail. A little bit of I'm licensed for air conditioning refrigeration, but I really don't have no hands-on. But I do have the license, so I could learn quick. I mean, you know, I learn quick, so, I mean, you know.
All right, let me ask you this, bro, and I'm so glad you called in because I called you on the fly. I mean,
I'm
texted you on the fly this morning.
Yeah.
Now, tell us, now you shared with me, but you've never done it. This is the first time you've been on my podcast.
Yeah.
Share with us the homeless shelter situation in New York City because that was really eye-opening to me.
It's out of this world, man. It's crazy, bro. I mean, you know, they treat you not good. You know, it's just a game. It's just to keep you a little bit because they're really getting paid, man, for this here, man. This is a win-win for them. It's a win-win for them. And they never really try to get you housing because they're making more fee out of you than getting you housing. So it's just a game. They try to keep you in this here housing, you know, in a shelter type program, even though I'm in a motel room. But still, I mean, you know, it's a shame, bro. It could be real frustrating, but, I mean, if you could really, like, what y'all trying to do, y'all trying to, like, make
well,
tiny
hold
houses?
Well, before we get into what we're trying to do, explain to us, like I said, me and you have had a lot of conversations on this. Explain why some people don't want to go to a shelter. They've been to one before. But explain why some of them don't want to go. So what are some of the things that could happen and do happen at some of these shelters?
A lot of fighting, a lot of drug use right there in the bathroom, you know, right there, you know. It's a lot of things, man. I mean, a lot of fights. You know, I got jumped on a couple of times, but they regretted it. But still, some people aren't fighters, some people aren't defenders, you know. I was just fortunate that I never got snuck, you know, like hit blindly. But, you know, it's real dangerous. It's not good. People take your belongings. They recently just, like, I mostly like to blend my food because I don't like microwaves. I got food in my room right now. I can't blend it up because they told me a blender can hurt somebody.
Hello.
But, you know, it's just not good. It's just not good. Like
okay.
I said, a lot of drugs. You talk to drugs, you know, they be selling right on the property, you know.
Now,
right,
what about overall security?
Oh, the security, man. Hey, the security don't do shit, man. They let you fight. They let shit happen right there in front of you because they're not there to protect you. They're there to protect the corporation, the business. They're not there to protect this, what they call the citizens or the nationals. They're not there to protect you. They're there to protect the staff, the DHS, and the other people that work for the homeless shelter. They're not there to protect the people that's in the shelter.
Now, the shelters, I imagine, they get paid. I guess they get paid for each bed they fill.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Yep. They get paid.
Now,
money,
do they offer any courses in there on teaching people new skills or anything?
No. Because
the reason why I asked that question, because this is me and my crazy thought pattern, because everybody knows I'm an extremist. I'm thinking, you know, at a homeless shelter, one of the skills that they can teach people would be, you know, how to build a house. So
they'll never have to face homelessness again. But
no.
I haven't run across anything like that yet.
And you're not going to, because they make more money off of keeping you homeless.
Yeah, they want you to need them and for them to be able to tell you no, so that way they can continue to get their paychecks.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to give people hope. This belongs to all of you.
Amen.
So that we can get our people off the street and on their feet. But also, our children are going to become the teachers, because first grade through eighth grade are going to design the homes the high school students, the parole prisoners, and the job creation is going to build.
So when
that first grader pushes enter, that's when it begins. But that first grader's now getting something for an adult to do. Maybe it's their mom and dad. Maybe their mom and dad needs that better paying job. Wouldn't it be amazing if their first grader created it for them?
Yep.
To me, it's time for people to come out of the dark and into the light. And I am a nonprofit. I'm a 501c3.
Ooh.
But I've never got government money. So I speak out. And I work toward legislation. I've got legislation passed nationwide. I've been involved in getting legislation in California and Illinois passed. And, you know, in California, they're building 42,000 steel frame homes for the homeless.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that was passed in November with a $5.8 billion budget without counting any of the money from any of the other cities.
Wow.
But we want to come in. What they're doing with that is they're not giving them the programs and the purpose, okay? People have a purpose. You don't know it yet, but you have one. Everybody has one.
Amen.
Everybody has a superpower. Everybody is amazing. Everybody is wonderful. They just don't know, but they need to find their joy. So we want to give them joy. And I was able to give a family joy. You know, they don't have much more, but they got joy right now. And that's enough. Because they're starting to thrive from going from nothing to something in a month.
Hallelujah. Bro. Peace and blessings to you, man. God bless you, sir.
Hey,
do you have
much more room in New York?
What did you say, Chris?
I say God bless you for being here.
Thank you. He sure has.
It's everyone out here, everybody needs to say, I am.
I am
a creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are everything that was supposed to be about the human race. You are it. Now,
amen.
Maybe you haven't got the knowledge yet to realize how capable you are. But the thing is, I don't know how capable you are. You're going to have capabilities that I don't have. But that's what's unique about you. You are the you and unique, because no one else is like you. And when I speak to everybody, so I'm speaking to you. You know what I mean? This is about all of us not thinking of me, thinking of we. And that M being a W changes the world.
God, generator, operator, destroyer. Thank you, sir.
That's right.
Now, Brother Bay, all right, New York City, that's where you're at. New York City probably has more, the city probably has, well, it's equipped to help. They can't help everybody, but they help a lot of homeless people.
Yes, they can. They can help everybody because there's enough for everybody.
Right. What would it take for, well, some people, because you'll get in the car and you'll drive here to Florida, I already know that. But
hell yeah.
What would it take, what is New York City offering through their homeless shelter network that...
Nothing.
That they're not getting in... I'm going to say Bradford, New York. And the reason why I say Bradford, New York, and that's like 4 hours away from New York City.
Mm-hmm. Brantford is a rural area. So, but you don't have to go 4 hours away. So what is it that keeps people coming? I mean, some people, you can't pull them out of New York. So what could be offered to entice people to leave New York City to another part of the state?
Hey, if there was home somewhere else that they could get some housing. You know, if they knew that they could go somewhere else and get housing and proper food and different things, they probably would leave. But, I mean, you got to remember, a lot of people get stuck, too. And a lot of people that got caught into the jail system, when they give them probation and them other things, which won't allow for them to leave the state, so they become stagnant. And then if they got drug problems, that's another thing that keeps them there. It's a lot, man. You know, it's a whole lot.
That's true. Everybody's got a different story.
If they had some things offered to them, who knows? You may could get some people out of it, but you could lead a joker to the water, but you can't make them drink.
Not at all.
That's true.
Not at all. You, that right there is bold statements. You cannot make them drink, you know.
Hey, you can make me drink.
People.
You ain't got to make me drink. I'm ready to drink anyway. Any offers out there?
You know, any offers?
Not here yet. Brother Bay, he will get in the car. He will travel opportunity. He's done that already. So
hey, I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go yesterday.
All right.
If any offers,
I think he asked Chris. Chris, do you have any opportunity? I mean, for him in New York or something like that, or how you can get started in New York?
I was actually fixing to say something about that. I just had Dabby. He's the comptroller for New York City. And he just reached out to me on Instagram, and he apologized for losing my message in his messages. But he says, give me your phone number so that I can call you so we can implement something. So I do have some powerful people in New York that's listening, for paying attention. Because it's the only free thing in life we all got to do. We can just pay attention, and we can get people's education, their resources, and all of their experiences, and it don't cost us anything. But what it's costing us is we have too many people that are lost, that are in the dark, that have blinders on, not looking sideways. They need to realize they're no better than any other person on this planet. And that is the problem with egos. We need to leave the egos out of it.
He's got out.
We need to take greed and fix the need. So if you want to get greedy and you want to run your business and you want to make all this money, what are you going to do to change a need and fix it? Not put a Band-Aid on it. Put a solution to it. And I'm here right now to claim your city's problems, wherever you are. You call in, you reach out, you do anything, and tell us what the problem is so that we can claim it, so that we can actually put a stamp on it. We can't put a D-O-N-E on it if I don't know. I'm here. We're looking to book these workshops across the country. But see, that workshop becomes a program to feed every child after school, engage with them, do something positive, get their grades up, but also find out who they are as they find out who they are and who they're going to be. Because our children don't know that they're creators. Their imagination is the most blessing thing we could possibly have. Because if 7.5 billion people gave me their imagination today, I could never have those thoughts, even if it was just one from each person. I could never have those thoughts in my lifetime. But y'all could share them with me in a day. So let's send a message to every person on earth. I'm going to do it. I got invited to do a speech on world peace at the UN. And when I do it, I'm going to have it translated into every language, and when I speak, everybody on earth will understand the words that are coming out of my mouth in digital tongues.
Amen.
But it's the it's going to be everybody receiving the same message. No interpretation of someone saying, oh, this is what he said. No, this word means this in your language.
God bless you, sir. Brother Bay, well, I'll be in touch with you so we can organize something with Chris up in your neck of the woods. And then, hey, Reba, I'll call you. What was that?
Hey, you could give him my phone number. You could call me direct or whatever, man. I'm ready.
Okay.
Well,
as a matter of fact, Chris, you want it now? He can give it to you right now.
Hey,
Brother,
give
you
it
can give
him
to him direct right now.
908-977-2374. Call me in.
All right, now, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas Bay. Well, I've got the number, Chris. I can shoot it. I can text it to you, though.
Yeah, no, I was shooting to get that thing wrote down. But I'll be honest to say I didn't get it that way, but I'm glad that I'm going to get it. So that's the beautiful part about us working together.
Yeah, definitely. 908-977-2374. 908-977-2374. Help! I'm drowning.
Hey, you know what? We're sending out an SOS. Saving our souls.
Yeah, I just sent mine.
I know you
I sent
did,
mine,
and I heard
whole,
it.
I sent mine for everybody in this building that I'm in.
Hey, you know, that means...
Huh?
That's the stat order. That means now, right? So
Superior
to the Kent.
It don't mean now, I mean right now.
Right now, right. So
right
Superior to the Kent is what our house is called that takes people from a tent to a bathroom. They don't have a working kitchen in Superior to a tent, but we have a Superior to a trailer that has a kitchen. So,
hey, I got a building with me, man, and we could build that up. Whatever we need, we could build. I got a carpenter with me that has his license and everything, very skilled.
Well, we build it
he
all out
from
of
the
matter.
Foundation. He built houses. He built from the foundation on up.
Hey, that works for me, and he probably knows what metal studs are because metal
framing. Mostly everything is metal studs now because wooden studs would get too much mildew on them.
There you go, because this don't burn, don't absorb water, it's stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable, build it without a dumpster, build it cheaper than wood, and get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home, and all of my material comes to length. You do not use a saw.
Oh, yeah. Hey, do you need a driver? I got Class A CDLs.
Trust me, man, we're connected. We're gonna look something out because I'm gonna need to be able to deliver material all over this country as we're doing these workshops. So as we show up with the truck, you're actually gonna get out of the truck and we're gonna show them how to do this. And that's the beautiful thing, man, because everybody. I showed a blind man how to do it, but right now I got a blind man leading Chicago because he has vision. That man asked me to come and meet him. He says, will you come to my city and see what I see? What, if a blind man said that to you, what would you do? He called me on day before Thanksgiving.
I want to be down with him because, just like Stevie Wonder, he got sight before sight. He got the real sight.
Wow. And this guy is amazing. He went out and got the job at the Great Lakes Naval Base for human resource outreach for workforce training, and then partnered with Goodwill Services for me, and then set up and found a 15,000-square-foot building 1 mile from the base, and they cut the rent in half on the building, and they're going to let them move in 100 people off the street and take them from off the street to on their feet by giving them a purpose and giving them dignity and giving them respect and giving them a name, you know, giving them a time to hold their head high and not be talked down because they don't have. It's time for the haves to give to the have-nots, but just give them an opportunity, not give a handout. It's a hand up.
Amen.
I'm tired
Amen.
Of the I'm tired of the Band-Aids. It's time to put stitches in the wound, put antibiotics on it, and make sure this infection never comes back by medicating the Band-Aids, by empowering them and giving them things that they're lacking right now. And that's when they put someone in a home, they do not give them all of the resources that that person still needs. And every individual is different. There's nobody that's going to need the exact same thing. But the one thing we do need is we need engagement. We have to be talked to. We are social beings, and we're the human race. Okay, I speak one race, the human race, because
that's
if
all
you
it
show
is.
Me the palm of your hand. I'll show you that the palm of your hand anywhere on this planet is pink. And if you show me the palm of your hand, I will show you peace on earth.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, Brother L.A., thank you. Thank you abundantly, brother.
Thank you for calling. I called you on the fly.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. That fly really had more than two wings, too.
Okay,
you,
I'll call you back.
Well,
and then Reba, now Reba. Yeah, go ahead, Reba.
I have a cousin who lives in New York, and she may be able to, she wants to work with me with my online school. I teach Spanish, and maybe she could help to maybe find something. She actually, this is Susan, Brother L.A., who was in on the conversation that we were having about the farming and so forth. So she's an educator, and she is a team member. So that may be a resource as well. I'm going to talk to her and let her know. I'm sure she'd be open to, like, locating some sites where we could do these workshops, these programs. As Chris was saying, because Brother L.A. and I, it's just been, honestly, living in Florida is one thing, but we are going to get together 2023. I just need to know, Chris, how to, because you're in Illinois, how to utilize these young people. My youngest son is a cement mason. My older two, my oldest is in Wisconsin right now, but that's like next door. So my 25-year-old, so they're 22, 25, and 28. They have all worked in the trade area. And so I have my team to build my house, but I want to actually position them to make money and help others. Because we come from a philanthropic family. My mother, she had a black card and didn't use it, but she donated to everybody. I mean, all the organizations. And I actually took my inheritance, and I didn't know what I was doing, but yes, I took care of the community where my sons grew up. And then, we almost faced homelessness as well. So the idea that, you know, many people are living paycheck to paycheck, but to teach these skills is the human kindness that we, because we don't, I don't, even when I was running my not-for-profit without my federal tax exempt status, I was just, you know, so busy I was going to get around to it. I still have yet to do so, but I realize that people, they can't function. It's not helpful. I literally was just giving things away. I was helping people, and then we get to the time, you know, even with for-profit licensing, get to the time we need to submit paperwork. They don't have funds, so I just learned to do things a little differently, make sure that the funds are available, help to raise funds. And then when you mention a hand up, not a handout. I've been a consultant with Chicago Public Schools, and parents will say, oh, I want this, I want that, I want to learn Spanish, because I know that that's something that we could use. I also teach English literacy. Well, I kid you not. sometimes the parents would rather do something fun instead of something, I mean, my Spanish class is not fun, but it's to the point where you want to go with what's popular instead of something that will help you. So I was trying to bridge the cultural divide. I think Bhavani is excited. So I have another grandson who will be able to help soon. he's on the way. We want to just engage these children. My son has a friend who has been using his skills was trying to get him on the line. He called in before he and his girlfriend, Brother L.A., Vail. So he has been using his skills. He's done some submit work. And so we just want to, even after Job Corps or whatever, because they went to Job Corps, my youngest son and his friend went to Job Corps, so he learned those skills. So I believe in manifestation, and I hear that in your spirit as well as yourself, Brother L.A., and you, Brother Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Manifesting, you know, the opportunity, you know, speaking it into existence.
Amen.
I was cleaning out my storage room, which is in my new, way smaller than where I was, two-bedroom apartment. And I put my son's school bag where he could see it, because that's not his room. I'm purposefully, don't call me evil, but he's 22. I don't want him to feel that he has a room in his mother's house. He doesn't need a room.
But we can teach him how to build his own place.
Thank you.
Hey, yes. why don't you have him join some of the union halls around there?
Well, resources were available. I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I have excellent coping skills. I've been to a shelter before, which that was actually, I guess, me being stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left because I felt that someone else could use that bed, you know. And as far as not paying rent, I was with my ex-fiance. I had to leave him. But I just was trying not to live with people, but I would have been fine. So moving forward, I do have two women who drive pickup trucks, and they're so stubborn, you know. I mean, for myself, I did I stayed with my cousin to get on my feet, and then there was like, it was a trick bag, to be honest with you. Sometimes people, they seem like they want to help, and I do understand why my two friends who, one just sent her daughter with family, and she has a business, so she said no. She's living with friends right now. She said, well, just support her business. So that's one thing. The other one is one is a massage therapist. One is a former radio personality. So sometimes it's hard to help people because the one who was a radio personality, she lived with me. But it's like there's a pride thing I see, you know, and I'm not everything. And she thanked me. She was like, well, you know, you gave me put a bed in your room for me. But then when it came down to it, she began to make complaints like, oh, my mother doesn't do this like this. But she couldn't live with her mother or her adult daughter. So the thing is, it's hard to help people if they don't have the right mindset. So I want to include crisis counseling. My fiance is a crisis counselor. We need to have some type of counseling because, keep in mind, part of what I went through, Brother L.A., is why I had not been engaged with Clubhouse and even on the podcast and dealing with some things. It was the
you know, when we met a few years ago, we drove down to
Pembroke.
You know, Hopkins Park in Pembroke.
No, that was Hopkins Park, but yeah.
Yeah, now, some of the people that you've run across, that they might not be homeless, but they could be facing homelessness, or they just can't handle they can't afford to live in Chicago. What would it take, what would we need to place in Hopkins Park or Pembroke, a rural area? Because it, you know, it's just not there. You got rural areas in Wisconsin too. What would we need to put in when we're building? Like if we get like a 5 acres plot of land, what would they need? To persuade them to move from? Okay, well it's only 45 minutes to an hour away. What would we need to put in place in a place like Pembroke or Hawkins Park?
I would say firstly to have a base, a community center base, to let them know that the resources are available. If they know that the help is there, okay, I go to the community center and this is what they're going to help me with. But set it up where they're helping themselves. Just to get my sons into preschool years ago, I had to go through, like, it seemed like a dictionary of different paperwork. I had to talk about my goals in life, things like that, just to get them into this program, this child care program. And the thing is, we need to be accountable and hold the people that we're helping accountable as well.
Amen.
To stand in touch, even a lot of churches that I've worked with in Chicago. Father Flager thinks he knows me personally. He knows my face, but I've taken children to the program. My sons play ball in the art. And it's just a matter of staying successful programs to get those millions.
Reba, specifically.
They follow up.
Mm-hmm. All right, Reba,
so
if you can name,
mm-hmm.
All right, Reba, name, like, if you can name 2 to 3 specific, when they could, let's say we build a physical facility, community center, and what are the top 3 needs that, you know, you think we should have, you know, when they need help, what kind of help specifically? We already know housing, so.
Food, and budgeting. A lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is what I learned from Yvonne Reese Taylor, people have money. They just need to see it. They just need Dr. Lynn Richardson, a lot of times, and some of the others that I've connected to and even watched on podcasts, even for myself, there was no way that I shouldn't have been able to even pay for a hotel when the last slumlord that I had boarded my property up when I was already had my apartment waiting for me September 1st. So the reality is that if you have any type of resource, even fundraising, I know a girl in college, she actually paid her children's tuition selling candy. No, she sold chips with hot sauce and stuff on it. So, and my sons witnessed these things. So I do have that insight to know that people come through money and they just need to know how to budget. And if we could show them how to maximize on what comes through their hands, even like for my young people, I put products in their hands. They can't get full 100% of the proceeds because we got to reinvest in products. But I give them a start by offering products with shea butter. I sell Mary Kay. Can't give them 50% of that because I have to pay for the products. However, they get to have a start. It's not a handout because they have to sell the product. So they're working. You feel me? So that's kind of what I would like to see, because if you say, okay, well, I don't have any money to buy a box of candy. Well, here's a box of candy, but this is what we're expecting. Now, I do have a young lady who one agency helped, and she took the money and she did this big event. She did a big event. She spent the money. Instead of helping her children to stay housed, she took the money at this big event. I understand her passion, but unfortunately, you know, we won't be able to help her again, not that particular agency, so I'm still connected to her. And so she, you know, that was hurtful for me because I'm like, well, sometimes people get obsessed. Okay, so I have this money in my hands. I want to do what I want to do with it. But there should be some accountability. You know what I mean? And it's sad to say that, you know, you can't. So that's really what I'm saying. Make sure that we have a component in place, a training program or an educational program, and train animals, an educational program where we're holding individuals accountable, housing, food resources, and the education piece, which includes financial literacy, to show them, you're not necessarily to become entrepreneurs, however, but to show them how they can actually invest in themselves, even if it's $5 a month. You know?
Now, Chris mentioned last week that we services, or I guess that's the term we use. We need to bring those services or have those services, under the roof of a community center in place. Chris, am I paraphrasing that correctly?
Yeah.
His light's still there. I don't know if he's still here though.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
What was the question?
No, you mentioned last week. Now, in other words, we need, if it's a rural location, like, because me and Reba were talking about, that's in Kankakee County. We were in a rural area there when we met. We would have to have, I guess, bring the services there. And they probably have some there already.
They do, and I've got a farm that's in Ashcombe, and that's in Iroquois County, right next to Kankakee County.
Okay.
I'm actually part of the continuum of care for Kankakee County. We do have services. The problem is they're not all under one roof. So that what I'm thinking about the dome is we've already got a program that my friend, he's an ex-NFL player, he might be on the call. I sent him the number. I was hoping he would and hoping he'd dial one and want to come in. Because I wanted to introduce him.
What area code was he?
He would probably be, he'd be a 312 or a 708.
I saw a 201. There was a 201 that was on here the whole time until about a minute ago.
No, I just sent this to him a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, right. Chicago, and Chicago, but he's also, you know, a very well connected man in that area. And what I wanted to discuss is we set up this dome. He has a program that's already written. It shows all of those things that you were asking for, Reba. They're already there. And all we got to do is blow the dome up. We can have that dome set up quick. But it's an air dome. We just need an empty parking lot or an empty piece of ground that is level. And we already know that our man in New York can come and level it if we need to. So right now it's let's set it up, put all the resources that is needed in that building. We call it the one-stop shop. And you come in and you get the services you need, but it's not to tell them no. And that's what they get right now because all those services are all over the area. And you go from one to the other to the other to the other. By the time you get two or three of the appointments done, you have 8 hours in it. And you got told no. So to me, that's like working a full-time job to get told you can't get no help. And if people are going to put that much energy and effort towards something, we need to do it in a positive way that they actually get something back out of it with a pay-it-back program. So as they do these things and we create these jobs, our children, you know, for every hour they put in the program, they're earning a home. So when they graduate out of high school and out of this program, they're actually going to get a home. And if they don't make it through high school, you know, they're still in the program. You know, this ain't time to turn your back on anybody. It's to look at every situation because every situation is unique. And you deal with it uniquely. No. And it's something that's not happening. So that's why, you know, I'm part of an organization called Bridging the Gap. And we've been to Chicago, been to, you know, L.A., been to Atlanta. They go all over the country, and we meet up, and we make these things happen, and we start, you know, putting these resources into the same realm and getting something positively done. And I know that Bob would say yes to setting it up if we had a place to set it up and start this and get the community center going. And the other thing that community center is it can also be a house creator. You know, we can turn it into an incubator, not just a youth incubator, but an incubator. So that way people grow. That's what an incubator is.
Amen.
And it's time, you know, to reach them all and teach them all. So if you think you know it all, you're wrong. You're never going to know it all. You're going to learn something every day, I promise. And if you get any value out of my conversations, you know, what did you get? It was free by you paying attention. So that's what I try to get out of any conversation is I try to get as much value as I can out of the person that's pouring into me and pay attention so that way I can share it back and give it back.
Okay. Reba, or you got an event this month. Give us the date on it and how people can get involved.
Okay, so it is the first annual inner-city youth sponsored by the Black Youth Metropolis, Enterprise for Entrepreneurship. It's an educational conference, and it's going to be held Friday, November 18th, this month, Friday, November 18th, at the Grand Ballroom, Chicago. And those who come can actually see both the parking lot. So if you guys are invited, if we can get you out here some type of way, maybe try to connect you, Brother Bay, with Chris, you're already here, connect you with Brother Cyron Smith. So we actually help to get people from state to state with National Black Hub University. But it's going to be $20 a ticket. With dinner, some of the children will be performing, and we have adult educators who will be performing as well. There'll be a speaker and a couple of breakout workshops to educate youth on different fine performer arts, career fields, self-employment, and entrepreneurship.
Okay. Right. And for vendors, people interested in vending.
Yes, thank you. I apologize. Vendors are welcome. So if the youth don't have products, like I said, they could use oils. They could choose to sell oils, witch day butter, other products that I have. Some young people have their own products, and so they will set up. The fee to set up, because they're going to contribute if they don't have the money, because some these young people aren't working, and some people are working with their parents. Parents can get a sponsorship form. They could actually have someone to donate on my website, RebaLaMaisha.com. It'll help to cover their table. They also could just partner with an adult like we did with Reclaiming Our Youth with Mama Evelyn Johnson, Brother L.A. So the young people actually got a table, and some of them were there with their parents. And so they have every opportunity to to look into careers and hear from professionals in the careers that they aspire to pursue. Phone number is 773-449-8839. Again, the number is 773-449-8839. You can also text for a link to the website and the flyers and so forth.
Excuse me, sister. Phone number again, please.
773-449-8839.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And your name?
I am Reba. Sister. Reba.
Thank you,
and
Reba.
And I do apologize. I missed the website. Didn't say what the website was. Reba the teacher. If you Google that, it should pop up. It will pop up. It normally does. Reba the teacher. Because RebaLaMaisha.com, a lot of times people get a little mixed up with that. It means Reba the teacher in Spanish. Reba La Maestra. Reba the teacher on Google.
Now, Reba, now, you're Spanish, you speak Spanish. What about, we can even probably set up shops for, the Hispanic market up there.
Yeah, I actually have a new office, by the way. So I'm at 89th and Commercial. It's predominantly a Latino community. And I used to live at 87th and Commercial, which is where I started speaking Spanish. I was learning it along the way years. Throughout the years, my mother, I don't remember her speaking it, but my uncle introduced me to it. I had it in grammar school. So I have a little story behind a backdrop with my Spanish, but that was my first apartment in that community on 87th and Commercial. So now I have an office with my friend Celia Colon. So the name of her program is God. And so we're 8920 South Commercial. And so she just offered for me to teach the Spanish classes there. And her staff wants to learn. She speaks Spanish with her staff. So that's a new office.
Well, they need housing, too. Matter of fact, let me ask this question. Is there a homeless problem within the Latino community?
Ironically, yeah. There was a woman there who was facing homelessness. She had court the next day. I just went to an event, so that's what I'm saying, there. When I went to see the office, there was also an event. And we were watching webinars and having a table talk. The young lady was in a DV situation. I'm a survivor of DV. DV means domestic violence. We just say DV for short. So she was facing homelessness. She had court the next day. So, yes, a lot of times when a person flees a dangerous situation or if they're put out, whatever, the resources, as you said, need to be readily available. So that agency is helping her with that situation. But, yeah, I don't see it as prevalent, but I'll do a survey and just find out what the needs are because of what we do. They're open to whatever I want to bring to the table as well. So I certainly want to survey and help, let them help distribute the survey in that area.
All right. Chris, any closing comments? Now you might be busy. Okay, well, Reba, we gave you the last word of the day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll be in touch with everybody. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.